We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. And as always, this is Ask Greg, your Penn State football questions for our own Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. I will be reading to Greg, and he will be answering your questions. Segment brought to you by tailgatewine.com. Some really cool, awesome wines for you to try out. An 1855 Dow Sapphire Blue Blueberry Wine, Old Main Pinot Grigio. You can get them at the gopsurv.com lot. You can also get them at tailgatewine.com. And for a lucky few individuals, you can also get a bottle of wine by having the best question for Greg Pickle right here on this segment. So we've got some good candidates this week. Greg will pick a winning question at the end. Whoever gets it will be in touch, and we will get you a bottle of wine. If you don't know, you can fire off your questions by downloading the Keystone Sports app and clicking the Ask Greg button when you get there. So we've got a few. I think we were just commenting how we think the attitude, the headspace of the Penn State fan base, not really in the mood for questions, but we've got some good ones coming off that Michigan State loss going into Indiana. We're going to start with Lou from Wilkes-Barre. Says, hi, Greg. The trend from the last five losses is obviously concerning. It seems the offense couldn't pick up a first down when it really needed. Is this inherent to the style of Penn State's offense? If so, is there a package they can implement, or do they need to be more aggressive in these situations?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair question.
All of those are fair.
Yeah,
I think even for James Franklin, they're all on the table.
Yeah, everything has to be on the table at this point. When you are a team that has not scored, you didn't score 20 points for the first time since 2016. Everything's on the table for reevaluation at this point across the team. I don't know if they had a package. I think it's more of a focus thing. They just need to be more aware of those situations and how to attack them. Right now, it feels like sometimes they're a little bit rudderless when they hit those points the game.
So yeah, I think we just made the same kind of comment about Penn State and the offense in the four-minute drills and these fourth quarter situations. It does definitely feel like a lot of times when there's a lead to sit on, clock to run out, a decisive score kind of going for the jugular situation, the offense is just falling short. Right. And I just don't know, I guess. And part of the struggle this year is figuring out what's your go-to play, what's your go-to strategy,
right,
in that situation. It's a little bit exaggerated this year because there isn't a go-to wide receiver. KJ Hamler, I guess, is a go-to wide receiver, but there's not a lot of there's not enough sure-handedness to really execute sometimes in these situations. I felt like against Michigan State, we just needed to see Miles Sanders late.
Yeah, and the other thing, they mixed Ricky Slade in a little bit, but I still think he could be used more too.
Yeah, as a little bit of a change of pace. So, Lou, I think those are really good questions. I think that's what everybody's asking right now. I don't know that anybody has an answer. If James Franklin had an answer to any of those questions, you would see a little bit more effective game management there. Jimmy from Wilkes-Barre. A lot of Wilkes were huge in Wilkes-Barre this time of year. For the past 2 years, the theme for Penn State's close losses has been needing a pass rush stop late in the game and not getting it. Is it time to throw in the four-minute offense with a lead in that conversation as well? Similar question from Jimmy. Penn State knows their short history of not getting a stop when needed, and also had to have known the defense was gassed again in the fourth quarter for the second game in a row. So calling three run plays while MSU had three timeouts left just seems inexcusable to me. When people said after the fourth and five debacle, put it in Trace's hands, most of them meant to throw the ball, running a QB draw on third and nine to the short side of the field and going out of bounds to save MSU a timeout is the same result as an incomplete pass. If you can't trust a beloved and usually clutch three-year starter to throw the ball in that situation, who will they ever trust? That felt good to get out. This was Jimmy's therapy session, by the way.
It was, and now I'll let you catch your breath and answer that question.
I usually try to tighten up long questions, but I knew Jimmy was bringing it back around that he needed some therapy, so I wanted to make sure we got all out.
Yeah, no, good stuff. So a couple of things on this. Number one, I do think that Penn State, so again, and Ricky Ronnie will talk to the media this week for the first time this season, which will be good. I mean, he did talk to the AP after the Ohio State game, but I'm curious to get some insight from him on how he thinks this offense is working under his direction. And then number two, why it does feel like they do something. So one thing to remember with that Trace McSorley play is, yeah, it was boneheaded, but the other thing too is that it didn't matter because Michigan State didn't need that timeout anyway because they just marched right down the field and scored a touchdown. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. We'll see how it all plays out. But I do think they should trust him to throw the ball in some of these situations a little bit more.
Well, I think this was a little bit different than Ohio State because Trace McSorley had it rolling against Ohio State. And then, you know, to call a couple timeouts late and come up with that play call where Trace McSorley is not going to be a factor. That's where the struggle was. And this one, yeah, you can nitpick Trace in this game. I think he would take, you know, there are a lot of throws that he wishes he could have back, but he didn't. But yeah, I think what you're right. In that moment, third and nine, it wasn't a veteran move to duck out of bounds there and not just slide inbounds, but I think he didn't rule out getting the first down until he was
right,
until he was on the white paint. And
that's exactly it.
You know, that you live by that, you die by that. It's the same critique of criticism early of him taking too many hits. You know, you can teach that, but you can't change who a player is.
Right.
And that was Penn State. That was McSorley competing to get every yard he could. But another question from Matt in Scranton, similar, but takes it in a little different direction with a passing and regression. Which change would you prefer the most? A, consider moving Ronnie from the press box to the field.
Nope.
B, rule that one out right away. Add some wide receiver motion on their basic plays to get secondaries moving pre-snap. C, perhaps lifting the red shirt on Dotson and or Shorter to get another downfield threat on the field. D, all of the above.
Well,
A and D are out.
I was going to say A and D are out, so that leaves B and C. C's out because, again, if those guys were – like, I think this is where people sometimes get a little bit confused and they think that Penn State is going out of their way to not play Jahan Dotson and Justin Shorter. If those guys were earning snaps in practice, they'd be on the field. I don't think there's any question about that. So I guess that leaves me with B as the only choice out of this multiple choice test. Yeah, some pre-snap motion would help. There's no doubt about it. Getting guys moving would be a plus 9 times out of 10. So I don't think it's a big deal if Ronnie's upstairs. I really don't think that changes anything. I think what the problem is, though, I don't know if he's taking as much advantage of being upstairs as he should be, honestly. I mean, but keep in mind, Joe Moore had said he preferred to call the game from upstairs, too, but he can't do that as a head coach, which is why he learned to call it from the sideline. I mean, that was the only reason he was down there. Otherwise, he'd have been upstairs, too.
Yeah, I'm not against Ricky Ronnie being up in the booth. I think there are certain things that having that bird's eye view will allow you to diagnose and pick up some tendencies and stuff that it will be a little harder to see from field level. This is a question for me because he brings up these two freshman wide receivers, Jahan Dotson and Justin Shorter. You also have KJ Hamler in the mix. How do you see the wide receiver depth chart in 2019? How much different will it be? How much more exciting will it be? Because you look at these guys, you know, Dotson is pretty similar at his core to KJ Hamler.
Yeah.
With that quickness and burst, and he's just got a knack for making plays, which not a lot of guys in that wide receiver room right now seem to have a knack for making plays. And then Justin Shorter is highly anticipated. You could see a pretty dramatic overhaul of this wide receiver situation in 2019.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that the only thing I'll say that's a little bit concerning is I truly thought, and maybe it's just because I'm dumb, but I thought this was going to be a really good receivers group this year, and it wasn't. So I'm a little bit hesitant to get too pumped up about the next group and simply just say, oh, that group's going to be good because I thought this one was going to be, and it just has not been. But the talent's certainly there. I mean, in that group, you have a former five-star, a guy who already holds a record in Daniel George for a 95-yard catch.
Yeah.
And Jahan Dotson, who has flashed a few times he's been on the field, so and obviously in practice as well. So, yeah, you put it all together. The pieces are certainly there, but Dustin, we thought they were there this year too.
So I think this question might have come in before Michigan State. We've got a little bit of a backlog, but it's still applicable. Bill from Philadelphia, special teams and the wide receivers have been a huge liability all season. If James Franklin truly wants to become an elite program, how do you justify keeping Phil Galliano and David Corley on staff, or at the very least in those same positions next year? Elite programs wouldn't tolerate this type of production, and I'm afraid James Franklin's loyalty will stop him from making the proper adjustments.
I mean, why does he have to be that loyal to these guys, their first-year assistants? I mean, I don't necessarily think that comes into play, but you can't – you don't want turnover. I mean, so I don't know. I'm not willing to jump. Look, they both have not lived up – I have bigger problems with the way they recruit. I get a little bit wound up here, but I have bigger problems that if they're not going to produce on the field, if their units aren't going to produce, and let's be honest, special teams have not produced this year and the receivers have not produced this year. If they're going to not produce on the field, they better be darn good recruiters. And nothing blows me away about either one in that department. So I think that's the biggest problem for them long term, is that if their units don't, and not to say there's a coach on Penn State staff that falls into this category, but you know, if your unit's not performing at its peak level, maybe you can keep your job based on recruiting. I don't necessarily think that's the case with these guys. So yeah, they have a lot of work to do. There's no question about it.
I think improvement needs to be seen from both guys. I do think I would use the word patience instead of loyalty. Maybe James Franklin would be patient with these guys. David Corley, the knock on him was that he coached wide receivers at Army, and they had – I don't know. I mean, they never passed the football. Right. Galliano, you know, I feel like special teams could be better. I also feel like they've got a true freshman kicker. They've never expressed confidence in him. In situations, how often have you seen them try something with him that would tell him that we believe in what you're doing?
Yeah.
And I know it's tricky because, you know, games are on the line and all that stuff. Now you're getting in tight games where you could use a field goal, and now suddenly it's shaky. It's an area where they're reevaluating. Everything's got to get a little bit better. Yeah. You need to see the wide receivers turn a corner.
Right.
That's been one of the most disappointing things all season long. Here's an unrelated question real quick before you pick a winner. Nathan from Cape Coral, Florida. So you are Penn State's offensive corner. You can have one quarterback for the next 3 years. Would you rather have Kerry Collins in his prime or Trace McSorley?
Oh, man. That's a tough one. Holy crap. I mean, in this day and age, probably Trace, just because of the way the offense works.
But you have to have a dual threat.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, Trace, I guess. That's a really tough question, though, because I think Collins might be able to fit the offense around him to make him work in this day and age. So that's a tough one. I'll go with Trace because we only have a few seconds left. This week's winner was the guy that asked the first question. I thought right off the bat we jumped out of the gate with a winner.
Lou from Wilkes-Barre asked about the trends in the last 5 losses and what Penn State's offense can do to adjust and try to make some more plays to win games there. There you go. Congratulations to Lou. He wins a bottle of wine from tailgatewine.com. You too can get involved there. Download the Keystone Sports app. Click on the Ask Greg button to fire off a question there. If you don't have the app, go get it. And check us out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.